Atenção, senhores espectadores. Muito boa tarde.
Corkout History presents
Grândola Vila Morena,
Picard Nation Revolution.
A partir deste momento, o movimento das Forças Armadas,
brought to you by André Andinês,
controla totalmente a rede emissora da Rádio e Televisão Portuguesa.
So, paint this picture. A country with poverty rates skyrocketing at the very western end of Europe, facing the hardships, control, and repression of a dictatorship, and, at a given time, a colonial war drafting its young. The Portugal of Salazar was, for many, a place to escape from. And one of the most significant phenomena of the dictatorship period was actually this one. It was immigration. Be it the economic hardship or the political repression or the limited opportunities in the country, all of those drove many Portuguese citizens to seek better lives abroad. And by the 1960s, immigration reached unprecedented levels in Portugal. We're talking about 1.5 million people leaving the country. And you ask, what does that mean in terms of the general population? That's 15% of Portugal's population at the time. A country with around 8 million people losing 15% of its population. Why, you might ask? So Portugal faced significant poverty, as we said. While it's difficult to give you like accurate numbers and statistics on poverty that are actually complete, during this period, all the accounts and the studies indicate that there was widespread poverty and disparity, of course. In the 1960s, Portugal was one of the poorest countries in Europe, with poverty rates estimated to be around 30% to 40% of the population. I think we should think about this number when we hear tales of how Salazar made the finances of the country right, and how they were balanced and all of that. Well, at what cost is always the question. Unemployment rates were extremely high, particularly in rural areas, reaching levels of 20 to 25% and seeing people move through the country with the seasons and again, going abroad. Many families struggled to even make ends meet and there was a lack of adequate housing, there was limited access to education and healthcare and precarious employment opportunities. The combination of all this economic hardships and the political repression, as we said, and all of these limited prospects contributed to this wave of immigration, with people leaving and leaving and leaving. Portuguese immigrants ventured to various destinations, like a bit all over the globe, across Europe, but not only. Countries like France, Switzerland, and Germany attracted a lot of people. There's a big community in Luxembourg as well. Many also took the way to Portuguese colonies like Brazil, Angola, Mozambique, that offered prospects of a new life. Specific regions of Portugal, actually, like specific regions of the country, like the islands of Madeira and Azores, and the north and northeast of the country, were particularly affected at different moments in time, sure, but in a way that shaped those regions until today. There was this immigration that you can look at as being a choice, although I'm not sure people had the liberty of choosing when they didn't have what to eat. But there was also the forced emigration caused by the political exile of people or to escape the military. Prominent political figures like Álvaro Cunhal, a leader of the Communist Party, or Mário Soares, a leader of what would be the Socialist Party, would be forced into exile for their political beliefs. This mass exodus of Portuguese citizens had a profound impact on the homeland, like demographic shifts, we're talking labor shortages, and we're also talking about the remittance flowing in, all the money that the immigrants were sending back to Portugal, that definitely changed Portuguese society and the Portuguese economy. Despite coming with many challenges, immigration did serve as a lifeline for many families that were still in Portugal, providing that financial support through their loved ones away. And how did Salazar respond to all of this? How did the regime look at this wave of immigration? Initially, the government viewed immigration as a means of alleviating the domestic pressures, actually, and maintaining social order. However, as his numbers kept going up and up and up and not stopping, the regime did have to worry a bit more about it and try to find policies to counterbalance all of this immigration. But if you want more data and to read a little bit more about it, we're going to be sharing a link to a wonderful article on the description of this episode, and you can get all your numbers. Now, after 1961, it's also a new phase for the immigration in Portugal, and that's because of the colonial war, also known as the Portuguese colonial war. It played a very significant role in pushing people away from Portugal. It lasted from 1961 to 1974 and took place in the colonies of Angola, Mozambique, and Guinea. As independence movements tried to assert their independence and the right to their homelands, the Portuguese state insisted on keeping these colonies and the former myth of the Portuguese Empire, as we talked about, and we'll talk more about the colonial war. The war not only resulted in a significant loss of life, but also in more economic strain and even social upheaval, changing the landscape in Portugal. Many, many Portuguese citizens tried to seek refuge abroad to avoid conscription or to escape the realities of war. It did contribute to more uncertainty, more instability, and more people fleeing the country, because I think the word in the end of the day is fleeing and looking for a better place elsewhere. The colonial war did act as another catalyst for immigration. And I think that while we talk about numbers and people and percentages of people leaving the country, we need to think about the individual stories of Portuguese immigrants and how this all changed and shaped Portugal. We need to put a face to these people, a story, something, and that might make them a bit more relatable. And that just reminded me that a couple of months ago in August, we released an episode with Devin Meirelles. Devin is a creative nonfiction writer that was born and raised in Canada, and he grew up around the Portuguese diaspora, and that had a profound effect on him. He wrote the story of his family throughout the 20th century and their journey of immigration from Azores to Canada. We sat with Devin and we talked about the journey of his family and the immigration and how that is a portrait of this 20th century. So if you want to know a bit more and hear about just one example, one story that fits into what we're talking here, just go and look for the episode Devin Meirelles. It's around August, so it's easy to find. And if we think about the hardships that they all gone through, if we think about the triumphs as well, but above all, trying to see these as people and not just percentages on a board. And if we look at the struggles of all these immigrants leaving Portugal, that should probably also shine a light on how we should look at nowadays stances and discourses on immigration, no? The experiences of Portuguese immigrants during the Salazar regime do continue to resonate and echo in Portuguese contemporary society. It definitely shaped demographics, it shaped culture, it does to this day. And if you want to see a bit more about how Portuguese people lived abroad and something that's very striking on the conditions of these immigrants, head over to our Instagram to see a couple of images by the late photographer Gerard Blancourt, who documented the life of the Portuguese migrants in the Parisian bidonville, and it's a striking portrait.
And I come here now, summoned by the hauntingly beautiful musical chords of Cantar de Imigração, Singing Immigration, by Adriano Correia de Oliveira. We just could not finish this episode on immigration without mentioning a couple of wonderful songs on the topic. Now, unfortunately, to avoid any copyright drama, we cannot share with you the full songs in here as we would like. But we will leave you with the details in our description and in our socials. And we highly recommend you check them out. I know most of our listeners will not be able to understand the Portuguese words, but I'm sure that that will not prevent you from feeling each and every syllable. Out of many, these two are my favorites. I will now leave you with the voice of Adriano once again, now in a more hopeful tune. Trova ao vento que passa, Song of the Fleeting Wind.
Pergunto ao vento que passa, notícias do meu